Thank you to your BYF and indeed for all those who have worked with them in order to prepare them for what they've brought to us tonight. I think we even managed to get a smile out of some of the boys there in the back row. So I think that's a job well done, a successful night all around. But thank you to all who have played a part in our carol service this evening. It is good to see you out tonight, and we bid you and your family a very happy Christmas. And may the Lord bless you both even throughout the Christmas season and, of course, into the new year in His will as well. It's a pleasure to have so many join with us tonight, and especially those who are visiting with us. It's a real delight to see you here gathered in the house of the Lord. As we come to conclude our thoughts this evening, I want to read a few verses from that second chapter of the book of Luke that we heard from just a few moments ago from Ruth. And we're going to pick up where she left off in the verse 8, and we're going to read down to the end of the verse 20. So Luke's Gospel, the chapter 2, beginning our reading at the verse 8. The Bible tells us, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Ending our reading there at the verse 20. So we come to this time of the year. We come to a time when many of us will look forward to so much. And indeed, I believe that is in keeping with the whole theme of Christmas. This is a time of year that God intended to be enjoyed. It's a time of year that He intended to bring great joy into our hearts and into our lives. That's given to us in the reading that we have taken this evening. For there the angel said in the verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. All that was unfolding even in the time around him in that little town of Bethlehem, it was that which would and should have ushered in great joy into the hearts and lives of all who beheld. And that joy, I truly believe with all of my heart, is something that God intended to trickle down the generations so that as you and I come to Christmas time, it must be, it should be a time of joy in our hearts, in our lives, and indeed in our homes. You won't need me to tell you that, of course, Christmas has been hijacked by so many people, so many organizations, so many causes. And as we come to Christmas each and every year, it seems as if the true meaning for Christmas gets more and more diluted. But let me remind you that Christmas is all about the birth of the Savior. A birth that God intended to bring great joy into your heart and into mine. Now let me ask you a question tonight, and we'll have a little bit of audience participation. Perhaps you tell me some things that you really enjoy about Christmas. Any ideas of things that you enjoy about Christmas? Any volunteers? Yes? Presents, yes?
Jesus is born. Jesus is born,
yes? Food. You can tell he's my son. Seen a hand, yes? Getting off school. That's always a good one for the young ones. Any other ideas? Santa coming, yes. Special deliveries that arrive at a special time, isn't that right? We all go to bed with great anticipation. Yep. Snow. I like snow too, but it hasn't been a white Christmas for a long time. Sure hasn't. Maybe this year. If it is, I'll come to your house and we'll celebrate together. Will that do? Good, good. Well, tonight I want to share with you, as we come to the Word of God, five things that I love about Christmas. Now, I love these bags because these bags remind me of great excitement and great anticipation. But very often I can remember that delving into great bags didn't always bring the satisfaction nor indeed the enjoyment that perhaps you hope for. But my bag tonight contains things that I've packed, so it's all about the things that I love tonight. The first thing that I love about Christmas, would you believe it or not, is Christmas cards. Christmas cards. Because whenever you get Christmas cards, it's always nice to be able to get them up and put them all in different places around the house and to read the greetings inside of it. And it's the most wonderful time of the year to Johnny from Johnny. I don't get many others, so very special card there. Let me see what other ones are in here. Oh, yes, there's somebody's boot that we were talking about just a few moments ago. Merry Christmas, have a happy new year. That card gets a little bit ahead of itself, doesn't it? It's just said Christmas and it's jumping to the new year. We'll put that one there. Oh, it's nice to get the cards out. And do you know that Christmas cards began because someone had the grand idea of making the price of a penny, or making the price of a stamp a penny? Anybody remember those days in here? Oh, my good friend Jerry, there you go. The stamps have greatly inflated since those times, haven't they? I couldn't even remember whenever they were below about, I think it's 20p or 22p was a, maybe, no, 27p I think was the first time that I remember a stamp, so you beat me on that one. But stamps aren't just as cheap today, but nevertheless, it was intended by those who created this the Christmas cards that for a penny you could send a greeting to individuals that meant a lot to you. And so you went to the shop, you purchased your cards, you wrote greetings inside, you got your stamps, you placed them on the envelope, and there you sent them off to your friends and family. And of course, in those times, there was no social media, there was no WhatsApp, there was no FaceTime, and so many people depended on sending things by post and by the mail. And so getting one of these through the letterbox in days gone past was a truly significant moment, because you were receiving greetings personal for you. And you know, as I reflect on that, and as we come to understand more of what Christmas cards are all about, that reminds me that once more, the true meaning of Christmas is all about the Lord Jesus. And as the angel came to the shepherds, he said, "For unto you is born this day." And so the message of Christmas isn't just for me, it's also for you. God has a message he desires to deliver to you. As you come to reflect on Christmas, as you come to reflect on the birth of the Savior, as you come to a meeting like this and the Word of God is open, as it's been read to us so many times, as we've joined in the carols, and as now we spend a few moments even preaching thereupon, God has a message personal for you. It is, if you will, that he has written on a page to your name from God. And in the midst of that letter is something that he wants you to get a hold of. The Word of God tells us, "These things have I written unto you, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And see, God doesn't want us just to know and identify with the truth of Christmas, that Christ came into the world, but he wants us to know and identify with the truth that he came into the world for a specific reason, for a purpose. To die for your sin, to die for mine, to take our place, to take our punishment, to demonstrate love beyond all human comprehension. Because there was one, yes, that little babe who was born in a manger, but the one who would grow into a man to die on the cross in order to communicate a message of love that is unrivaled and unparalleled to this very day. So God's message to you, the greeting card that is delivered to you tonight, is, "I have loved you. And there upon Calvary's cross, I demonstrated my love to you. Will you accept of the offer of mercy and grace in the gospel and love me in return? But not only do I love cards, but somebody mentioned it. Let's rummage about in the bag in here. We love gifts, don't we? Who doesn't like to get a gift? Because I'll give you this one, because there's nothing in it. And then you won't be disappointed. But we all love to receive gifts, don't we? And many of us have yet to begin the process of gift shopping, isn't that right? We have a few trips to the shop this week, or perhaps a few clicks on Amazon, just to ensure that we have a present arrive in time. But at this time of year, we give and exchange gifts, especially with those who are nearest to us. We spend a lot of time perhaps thinking what they would like, what would be special to them. We go and we invest our hard-earned money into purchasing it, and then we wrap it up and we exchange it with them, or we place it perhaps below the tree in the home. And there, that is what our tradition is when it comes to giving and exchanging and receiving gifts. And then on Christmas morning, all this nice wrapping paper, well, what happens to it? It turns into perfect ammunition for a snowball fight, doesn't it? If snow doesn't come, you can have a wrapping paper fight, can't you? Isn't that good? You can roll up all the snowballs with the wrapping paper and fire them anyway. But the paper's soon discarded. Why? Because we want to get into the midst of the gift. We want to find out exactly what the paper is hiding and what that loved one has purchased for us. And I saw a lot of giving and exchanging gifts today, and that was a lovely thing to see because it shows appreciation. There were people receiving gifts. Why? Because they're investing time and energy into the lives of others. And so they trotted in one by one and they passed their gift over in order to show their love and appreciation. And you know, when it comes to gifts, the Bible speaks of gifts also. And in the Word of God, in Luke chapter 2 and the verse 11, that which we have read together, it says, "For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The next slide there. And then as we come to reflect on that which God sent, it is His gift to us. And who is it? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Corinthians and says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Why? Because as we have mentioned that His love, the demonstration of His love, the message that is communicated by that which He accomplished there in Calvary's cross is unrivaled and unparalleled to this day. So too, you and I will never exchange a gift with someone else like the gift that was given to us. He gave His Son. His only Son. And the reason that He gave it was because there existed a great problem in our world. There exists a great problem in all of our hearts. We can spend a lot of money and we can spend a lot of time and we can put in a lot of effort, but you and I will never be able to deal with that problem that exists within. Because the Bible reminds us that we're all born in sin, we're all shaped in iniquity, that we have within us that sin nature that separates us from a righteous and from a holy God. And in order that we might one day know what it is to spend eternity in that place called heaven, then we have to receive of the gift. Because no matter how hard we try, we can't do anything to change that certain destiny of hell. Oh, we can spend all of our money. We can concoct the grandest of schemes and the grandest of plans, and we can invest all of our energy. But your very best, the Bible describes, is but filthy rags. Are you here tonight and you've labored much in good works? You've spent your time trying to lead a good life, to lead a clean life. And you say to me, I'm an upright a member of my community, I'm someone who is regarded, I'm someone who's well thought of, I'm someone that you would be more than comfortable in spending time with. And I'm sure you are. But you see, on that last day, I'm not going to sit as your judge. On that great day, no one else in this room is going to sit as your judge. On that day, the Holy God Himself will sit as your judge. And you can bring all of your efforts and you can bring all of your enterprise and you can bring all of your wealth and achievements. But on that day, it will be weighed and it will be found wanting because you haven't done enough. So tonight, as we come to Christmas time, the Bible reminds us of that gift that God gave, His only Son, in order to provide you the opportunity for a gift that you can receive, salvation, eternal life, by believing on His name. So Christmas, we're reminded of cards, the messages, the greetings they contain. We're reminded of gifts, that which is nice to give and receive, and that which points us to the greatest gift of all, the unspeakable gift. But another thing I like about Christmas, no one mentioned it. Actually, I thought there would be at least somebody who would mention this. I like lights. Who likes getting up the Christmas tree lights? Whose job is it to put up the Christmas tree lights in your house? I'm not allowed anywhere near. So this will be the first and only time this year that I'll put up lights. Let's hope they work. There we go. And what happens now? You spend half an hour untangling, don't you? And hoping they all come out. But there you go, there's the Christmas tree lights. And we all like to spend a little bit more on the electricity bill this time of year, don't we? The lights go on, and if you're in the house, it doesn't matter if it's 7 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock at night, apparently you have to have the lights on. Isn't that right? And it does all year round, you're told not to turn the big light on. Who's got the big light in their house? You're not allowed the big light on. But come Christmas time, you can have as many lights as you like. That's the way it goes. We all like the lights. And who drives around looking for lights outside? Perhaps the neighbors or someone in the town does a grand display and you like to get all the kids, all the family in the car, and you go light hunting. Well, that used to be a family favorite of ours. We used to never find very many at all. And it used to be a night where you just drove about and then came home very disappointed. But now, lots of people invest in lights and you see them everywhere. When it comes to light, what does the Bible have to remind us about light? Well, the Word of God tells us, then spake Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. And if you were here this morning, we had read to us, of course, that very special verse that's found in Isaiah in the chapter 9. It was read again this evening, and it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And the Word of God is communicating to us this truth, that as Jesus Christ was sent into the world, He was sent to shine light into darkness. And just come back to the very beginning of time, for how does our Bibles begin? It says, when God created the world, He spake light, and it was light. He created light out of nothing. But then, of course, there entered a great spiritual darkness into this world. And that spiritual darkness was all as a result of that sin. That sin that was committed there in the Garden of Eden when our forefathers even knew what it was, when Adam knew what it was to partake of that fruit of the tree that he was forbidden not to. Sin was ushered into the world. A great spiritual darkness came over the world, and forever and a day there has been that great struggle between light and darkness. But at Christmas time, we remember that God sent His Son, and His Son proclaimed this great truth. He said, I am the light of the world. I've come to shine my eternal light into the darkness that surrounds men and women, boys and girls. Why? Because of their sin. And there's something amazing about the truth of the gospel. Why? Because the truth of the gospel is like putting on that light in the dark room. It's like switching on the torch in the very darkest of night. Where once there was nothing, then all is bright around. And the gospel reminds us that yes, we are lost in our sin, and yes, we are forever separated from a righteous and a holy God because of that sin, and yes, you and I can do nothing to change our soul's destiny. We can do nothing to save ourselves. We can do nothing to wash our sin away, but God sent His Son into the world, and He shone a great light into our darkness. You know, if you're here tonight without Christ, there's no doubt that you dwell in darkness. You might not identify it as such, but your darkness is seen in the disappointments of time. It's seen in the dissatisfaction that is consistently the reward of all your endeavors, of all your purchases. All your travels and all your moments that you spend doing this and doing that never provide the lasting satisfaction that only God can grant. And oh, tonight that you would see in Christ all that you need, all that you desire, all that will fulfill you for time and for eternity. Because tonight the gospel is able to shine a light into your heart. So tonight, enjoy the lights of Christmas. But open your eyes and behold the light of the world. The one who bled and died on Calvary's cross for you. Another thing I like about Christmas, and again, nobody mentioned it, but I think more or less most of us will know what this is. What is it? A Christmas tree. Anybody know what height that Christmas tree is?
1 foot.
1 foot. Any other takers? Colin, what do you think it is? That's very exact now. Yep, it's just about a foot and a half to 2 feet. But do you know, I know somebody. Not, I think you might know them too, and they have a 17-foot tree. Can you imagine trying to fit that in the house? You can tell how big their hallway to their landing is. That wouldn't even fit if you took out my bedroom into my house. But there you go. You just have to think you can get these trees and. 2 feet, you can get them 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet, 7 feet. And what do we love to do? We love to decorate them. And we love, of course, to put our gifts below them. And so much time and so much effort is put into decorating trees, putting the trees up, and ensuring that everything is just right for Christmas. So the family can gather in, and so all those cozy nights can be spent by the fire with a hot chocolate or whatever you like to drink and a box of roses on your lap, and all is good, isn't it? And even that night, you don't turn on the big light. You just turn on the tree light. All's good that night. We all like a tree. Everybody, indeed, has some place, no doubt, for a tree in their home. But you know, as much as we spend so much time and energy on these trees, that ultimately, if a match was put to them, they'd just go up like that, wouldn't they? And they'd disappear unless you get the real tree. Who's the real tree person here? There's a couple there. Well, they take a little longer perhaps to go up in flames if the fire came. But nevertheless, they're gone. They're expendable. But the Bible reminds us that the Christmas story begins with the manger. But it ultimately ends with the tree. Doesn't it? Because whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came, he came for a specific purpose, for a specific reason. He came to die on the tree. He came to take your place, to take mine. He came to take the punishment that we rightfully deserve for the sin that we commit. Acts in the chapter 5, a great sermon was preached, and these words are given to us: "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." And that's looking back at the factual event of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the one who was born in a manger, but the one who bled and died on a tree. Oh, this Christmas, yes, no doubt, enjoy time with your family. Enjoy the pleasant surroundings of your home. Enjoy the twinkling lights as you sit by the tree, as you sit by the fire. But this Christmas, pause and consider the man who upon the tree was put to death for me, for you, for the reason that he came was to die, to take your place, to take mine, And we know that that isn't the end of the story. Why? Because he rose victorious over all. And that's what this sermon mentions. For the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. And he's alive. Tonight he's alive. And he extends an invitation. And he says, yes, consider all that Christmas means. And yes, behold the tree upon which I hung and died. But behold my hand extended to you. Will you come and receive the forgiveness that is only to be found in me? I love Christmas because of the cards. I love it because of the gifts, the lights, the tree. But I love it for one final reason. Anybody guess what the final reason is? God came to earth. Yes, that's the ultimate reason that we remember. But there's one other thing that I like about Christmas. What's that? Absolutely. There it is. Got the turkey dinner. Nathan, you tell everybody if that's real or not.
Yep.
No. That is a turkey dinner. Now, who's looking forward to one of these in a couple of days' time? Hands up. Honestly, who's already had one? Two? Three? Oh, we all love the turkey dinners, don't we? And this is a part of our Christmas celebrations here. We love to gather around the table and we love to partake of that which has been prepared for us. But you know, the Christmas story begins in the manger with a message that was proclaimed by the angel to the shepherds who were outside of the town of Bethlehem. They brought them to the manger. They beheld the greatest gift that was ever given, the light of the world who came into this world to dispel darkness. And there he hung and he suffered upon a tree, and God raised him up. But you know, he's coming back one day. And the Bible tells us that he's coming back to claim his own. And the Word of God reminds us that blessed are they who are invited, who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a great dinner coming for all who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's by invitation only. It's by invitation only. You can only know what it is to claim your seat if you know what it is to have Christ in your heart. If you know what it is to come and believe in the Christ of Christmas, the one who came into this world as a gift from God to provide you the opportunity to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Luke's gospel tells us this. The shepherds were there and the angels proclaimed their story and they said, go, go. And the shepherds, the Bible tells us, went with haste. That means that they dropped all. They left behind their duties. They left behind their responsibilities. They forgot about their plans. They ran to the place the babe was, and there they beheld. Tonight you could be here, and you can behold all that there is to behold about Christmas, but you could miss it. You could miss it, because tonight you don't make haste to come to him. Oh, there's time for that. Let me just enjoy this festive season. Let me just enjoy the time spent with family and friends. Let me just accomplish this in my life. Let me just pass through this chapter of my life and achieve this target. Let me have a little more time. But in the end, you could miss it all because you miss Christ. It's appointed unto man once to die. You know the day of your birth, it's there marked forever on a calendar. You celebrate it year by year. And this great expanse that we call life, it is but really a short time, for eternity is far longer. I could take 3, 4, 5 trips around this auditorium tonight and yet never calculate for you the extent of eternity. Let me tell you, where's the day of your death? No man knows. Only God himself. Will you hear his message? Will you receive his gift? Will you allow the light of the glorious gospel to break through? Will you come to the old rugged cross where the Savior bled and died? Will you make ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Father, we pray that thou wouldst be pleased to bless us tonight and help us one and all not just to celebrate Christmas as an event, but help us to celebrate it as the greatest story of all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And tonight, he bids all who remain in their sin, outside of Christ, lost and perishing, dying without hope, to come unto him and to make ready for that which is yet to be. Oh, Father, tonight we pray that there would be those amongst us who seriously consider the true meaning of Christmas and who rejoice not just in the Savior's birth, who come to rejoice not just in his death, but who come to also be ready for his soon coming again. It's in the precious name of our Lord we pray. Amen. O holy night, then, as we finish our carol service, and let us stand together to unite our voices in praise once more, please. pray that thou hast taken us to our homes in safety. And we pray that each of us might know even thy blessing this Christmas time, both with happiness in our homes, but most of all, the peace of God in our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.